Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
So we're in the middle of a great show this afternoon. We had Sam Farmer on talking 49ers and Rams in the NFC title game last hour. Dre Greenlaw will join us at 5:30 in our final hour today. We'll begin our final hour, 5 o'clock hour. Steve Kerr live at 5 talking about the Warriors have now won 3 in a row. They had a dominant win over the Dallas Mavericks last night. Klay played the most amount of basketball, probably played his most efficient basketball since returning from his injuries, and it was a good night all around for the Warriors. Still wasn't a great shooting night for Steph Curry, but they manhandled the Dallas Mavericks, and we're going to be talking to Steve Kerr about that. Great game for Kuminga once again. So lots to talk about there. Obviously, football, she's all around us. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to football. And Ray, yesterday we were offered up a chance to talk about the Hall of Fame because of their deciding vote this time around in the final year of eligibility. Neither Barry Bonds nor Roger Clemens was elected to the Hall of Fame by the writers. And it really felt like the blowback of public outrage was more pro Bonds and Clemens than ever before. I mean, it felt like something had changed in the way people had thought about it. Maybe not the voters themselves, but it felt like the tone of the conversation finally shifted to, well, wait a minute, the Hall of Fame really screwed over Barry Bonds? They're not going to let him in? That's wrong.
Yeah, I think what happened was, because this was their 10th go-round and there wasn't going to be an 11th, I think it suddenly dawned on people that the hope that people would save their yes vote till his last year to somehow teach him a lesson didn't really happen. I mean, he only got 3 more percentage points than he did last year, and Clemens got almost exactly the same. So that argument didn't resonate either. And I think the outrage now is that, you know, there's a finality about it, and that the Veterans Committee that's going to decide the future fates of those guys is more likely than not going to be less sympathetic than the writers are. So I think that was the real anger about it, was that, you know, this seemingly, you know, inconceivable notion that they wouldn't get in is now, it's a very real thing. And, you know, everybody looks bad in it. Everybody failed. And now they're stuck with a Hall of Fame that doesn't have, you know, arguably one of its 2 best players ever and one of its 10 best pitchers ever.
So what do you need? You need 75% to get in? 77% yeah. Okay, so you need 75% to get in. 75. And Bonds topped out at 66, correct? 66%?
65-3. Oh, no, that was Clemens. I'm sorry. Bonds was 66. You're right.
Bonds was 66. So he picked up 3%. Let's say he would track to pick up 3% more votes. If he had another 5 years, maybe he gets in. Now, maybe the percentage climb stagnated enough to show that the topic would not evolve. Maybe that would have happened. But I certainly would have liked to have seen another 5 years of eligibility for Barry Bonds. I'm sure Barry Bonds would have liked another 5 years of eligibility. Yesterday, one of the topics that we were talking about and I floated is one of the most sinister things that happened to Barry Bonds was that the waiting period of Hall of Fame eligibility was reduced by 5 years while he was up and eligible for the Hall of Fame. It used to be 15. It was redacted to 10. And I presented that yesterday as something sinister, Ray. It actually wasn't as sinister as I stated it to be. It wasn't proactive in keeping Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame as much as it was reactive to someone who they didn't think cherished their vote enough. That someone was Dan Le Batard. And I had totally forgotten about this, but Dan Le Batard gave his Hall of Fame vote to Deadspin, saying, don't use my name. But this is an actual Hall of Fame vote. And the way that your readers vote, I will vote this Hall of Fame vote. This is very real. Deadspin, you get a Hall of Fame vote now to curate amongst your readers. Le Batard did it. He even called it personal jazz hands. It was a media stunt. It worked. He was cause celeb for a full week. We talked about him, whether or not it was ethical, journalistically responsible, all those things. And, you know, he did it for the attention, the fame, and it worked. And he was also given a lifetime ban forever voting for the Hall of Fame. But it was the outrage that the Hall was reacting to that after catching Le Batard doing that stunt, it's when they reduced the 15-year window to 10. So it wasn't a huge middle finger to the steroids era, as much as it was a huge middle finger to take your votes more seriously, writers. Look at what we're doing. He basically copped to that today on his show, saying, I've been getting an awful lot of hate and I understand why. And I feel terrible that I might have had something to do with keeping Hall of Fame caliber players out of the Hall of Fame because of my stunt. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have Dan Le Batard on today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that I entirely buy that. I think it might have been a factor, but the Hall of Fame got to choose the punishment it gave him, which was the lifetime ban, but then decided to, you know, game the system after that, which was entirely unnecessary based on what they claimed to be outraged about, which was Le Batard farming his vote out. I think there were multiple ideas going on here, and one of them was every year we get beaten up over this Bonds and Clemens thing. So let's cut the time by a third, and that'll be five fewer years we have to listen to it. I think that is still very real. I'm not dismissing the Le Batard claim at all, but I think that was less, you know, less the reason why they cut it 5 years off than it was, we don't want to keep getting yelled at.
But it opened up the highway lane for them to pass that decision.
It may well have, because I don't know what they decided in a committee and what the discussion was. But they could have taken care of the Le Batard thing simply by taking his vote away.
They did. You know, lifetime ban.
And they did. But then they doubled down. And it affects a bunch of future Hall of Fame candidates beyond Bonds and Clemens. You know, they basically, you know, they blew up the horse to spite the saddle. And, you know, that's why I think this was a bigger game than just Le Batard. He might have given him the cover for this, but I think this was coming.
Maybe it was. But
and I love Le Batard, so I'm perfectly willing to give him the credit. I just don't know that it's accurate.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe it's his slant on history, revisionist history, but it certainly was a moment in time where decisions were being rethought and made by the Hall of Fame. And I really do think another 5 years might have made a difference for Bonds and Clemens. It feels like the finality of this last time around was enough for people to go, wait a minute. We're getting this wrong. And not we're getting this wrong, but the voters are getting this wrong. And the voters that are getting this wrong are the same voters that voted for his MVPs more than anyone else that ever played that they now are willfully ignoring existed in the first place so they can make some moral argument based in the politics they believe in as to who should be a Hall of Famer. Again, the voters who said he's our MVP are the same group of voters who said he's not worthy of Hall of Fame inclusion. Maybe not down the board, straight line. But there's a lot of crossover votes there.
There might be some. I don't know. And that would be an interesting test for somebody who really evaluates who votes for whom. And there are still a bunch of people who never release their ballots, so you'll never know. But my sense is most of the people who voted on those MVP ballots were probably people who did vote for Bonds. Because I think covering the games day in and day out is very much more a young person's game than it ever used to be. And I suspect that most of the people who voted for those individual awards, and there are only 30, you know, whoever vote for MVPs, I think for the most part would probably vote for him rather than against him. It is an anomaly of the system, but I'm not sure there's a direct correlation.
Dan Le Batard used to be a man, then he became a journalist, then he became a broadcaster, then he became a media company. Mr. Meadowlark himself joins us coming up next here. Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by Whole Foods Market.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto along with you. We got an awful lot to get into. Steve Kerr live at 5. Dre Greenlaw off to the NFC title game with the 49ers. They're coming up. He's coming up at 5:30 right now. We are brought to you by Livermore Casino, located on First Street in Livermore. And we're thrilled to have Dan Le Batard join us here on 95.7 The Game. Dan Le Batard, the man, the myth, the legend, now his own media company. Meadowlark is doing fantastic stuff. I was watching his show today, and he said a couple of things about Barry Bonds, which made me say to Lucas, do you think we could use the magnetism of Ray Ratto to get Dan Le Batard on the show today? And he said, let's try. I guess it worked. Dan, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. How are you?
I got to be honest, it wasn't the magnetism, it was the sensuality that lured me.
Ooh.
Hello, Cuddles.
Oh, my God. I am so attracted to you right now. I am dizzy with my desire.
Can I talk to your wife real fast? She may need an intervention.
She has given me one celebrity pass, and it's you, my friend.
Wow. I feel like I'm crowding the room. I really do. I don't even need to be here.
I got to be honest with you. I can't decide whether to get a cigarette or just get the creeps.
So,
if you want to really make it creepy, Damon, you could watch.
Oh, thank you. Let the boy watch.
Yeah, Dan. We put him to work and make him film it.
Ah, enough. Dan, the reason why we called today is because you said two things that really got my mind thinking. Number one, we agree. If Barry Bonds had just smiled a little bit more, he's in the Hall of Fame. Number two, you jogged my memory about the stunt that you had pulled with Deadspin and your Hall of Fame vote. And you copped to basically the reason the 15-year waiting period got reduced to 10 was some discipline that was thrown at you and Barry Bonds' maybe collateral damage because of all that. Would you take the audience through it again? I was watching today. I'm all caught up. Please catch our audience up.
It's the cosmos laughing at me because a few years ago in a stunt, and I can be look at me journalist, performance troll. I can sort of wrap my integrity, or I could wrap the look at me in what is alleged to be integrity and do something like I did with the Hall of Fame, which is do what I believe, which is the principled thing of I thought the arbitrary moralities of the gatekeepers on the Hall were unfair, and that we've got to be able to celebrate separate the art from the artist. And that we shouldn't be judging these guys beyond their excellence. And so I was just protesting the idea that many of us would have partaken in a fountain of youth if it was available at the pharmacy and we were competitionaholics trying to get every edge. And so I always understood that Barry Bonds and his excellence are something that I had not seen in my lifetime watching baseball, and most people hadn't. And I gave my vote to Deadspin, sold it, quote unquote. I didn't take any money as part of a stunt to show off that I was protesting what was happening with the gatekeepers, keeping all the steroid guys out and not being able to do it right because we don't know about A-Rod. We don't know about Ortiz, the difference between them. Guillermo Mota was rail thin and he got suspended twice for steroids. I don't know if Randy Johnson used or not. I know that HGH heals, and in that sport you might want some healing for your body. Anyway, all of which is to say I protest voted carefully because I didn't want to actually keep anybody out of the Hall because of a stunt. I didn't want my vote to be something that kept people away, but they changed the rules when they banned me. I thought the punishment was just going to be to ban me. I'm banned for life. I can't vote anymore. And that would be the end of it. But also, because they didn't want anybody to do what I did in crowdsourcing the vote ever again, they made an overhaul of the voting system. And one of the things they did was change it from 15 years of eligibility to 10 years. And I'm guessing that's part of why Barry Bonds won't be in the Hall of Fame by these voters. Maybe the Veterans Committee will change that. But I'm guessing, given that the sentiment has been changing over the years, which is funny, given that, you know, there's an outrage now that he wasn't in, but there was outrage for a decade that he was using steroids. And here we are, where he doesn't get in, and the principle of my stand sort of gets vaporized because I do believe he would have gotten in. It would have continued to erode the shores of this until, you know, you think that in the next 5 years he would have gotten in, I assume.
Yes, I do.
And so,
if
San Francisco's mad at me, and this is the one place where he was close to beloved, it was the one place that supported him with fervor. I didn't realize that I would end up being one of the reasons that were to blame.
Given that, do you, and I don't want to ask the question the obvious way, but do you regret what you did based on the law of unintended consequences then, if not the principle that you were trying to espouse at the time?
it's hard to disentangle those two things, right? Because I'm supporting this guy. I don't want to be a reason that he doesn't get what he rightfully deserves. And so that's not, you know, my intention doesn't much matter. The difference between murder and manslaughter, I suppose, is intent, but there's still crimes. And I would not, you know, I don't feel good about Barry Bonds not getting in, but my stand is also my stand. I suppose I could have done it differently. There are a couple of people who vote who just abstain from voting. They keep their vote, but they don't vote for anybody. So I suppose that I'm not answering your question well because I'm conflicted on it. I don't know how much regret I can have given that I stand on the principles, but of course it didn't have the desired result because all I did, I changed the way they vote, but I changed it to make it a different kind of restrictive as opposed to what I was intending to do, which is to open it up more.
Given that, do you think they might have just reduced it to 10 years anyway? Because by the time you had turned your vote over to Deadspin, the debate about the Hall of Fame was entirely about those two guys, and that they might have just cut it to 10 years, not just because of what you did, but because they wanted to take some of the time off the grief they were taking.
You soothe me by making it not about me. You soothe me by saying it might have happened anyway. I don't think, incidentally, that I am the only reason for that change. And I don't think that my one vote would have mattered much one way or the other. The thing I was fearing is somebody missing by a vote and then that vote being my vote, somebody who deserved it missing by a vote. I did not see this angle. This was not something, it's not just merely that it's an unintended consequence. It's just not a consequence I had in any way considered.
Should we absolve Dan Le Batard of any wrongdoing? Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Dan Le Batard, nice enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, we wanted to bring you in under the premise of this subject, but while we have you here, we need to ask you about a couple of other things. I mean, we got the 49ers and Rams giving rebirth to a West Coast rivalry in the NFC title game, and we also have the curious case of how do you put together a winner in the modern NFL here, because there are, you know, obviously more than one way to skin a cat. Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes have reached the same level of playoffs, and they could not be more diametrically opposed to how they go about winning football games. What do you think of the state of quarterbacking, and how important is it to have one these days?
Mahomes threw for more yards after the two-minute warning than Garoppolo threw in the whole game against Green Bay, right? It was 177 yards after the two-minute warning. It's interesting to me because I believe the healthy 49ers, and I mean, I guess you guys probably know this, but I believe you can make the argument that the healthy 49ers over the last 3 years are as good as any team in the league, that they could beat anybody and are so good that they could beat anybody while hiding their quarterback. They could be 6 minutes from winning the Super Bowl. If he makes one throw, they win the Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo perhaps is looked at differently. If you look at the quarterbacks, like largely, you had Herbert didn't make the playoffs and Russell Wilson didn't make the playoffs, but the teams that were in the playoffs had the best quarterbacks. Garoppolo's an outlier. The 49ers are an outlier. You know, they have made it as far as they have made it with Garoppolo. I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in five playoff games, he's 4-1 with like two touchdowns and five interceptions and a terrible quarterback rating. And the one loss is the Super Bowl in the five playoff games. So that team, it doesn't win because of him. It wins in spite of him, and it can win. Of course it can win the Super Bowl because he makes one throw a couple of years ago, or never mind one throw. If the 49ers had been playing defense in that Super Bowl the way that everyone has figured out how to play defense against Patrick Mahomes, the 3rd and 20 would be complete to Tyreek Hill late in that game, or whatever that was in the Super Bowl, where he just flips it out there to Tyreek Hill. They're not allowing that play to Tyreek Hill anymore. So I'm fascinated that it's not a mirage, that your organization, your coach, your team of athletes is so creative, it's so well structured that when that team is healthy, they can beat anybody. And I don't know how healthy they are because of how much it has taken, the expenditure that it takes after a 17-game season. I know you guys know in that market, in the last minute of that game, your three best players were limping off the field. You got Kittle, Williams, well, I guess Bosa is mildly healthy, but Williams and Debo Samuel and who else was it? There was somebody else that was limping Kittle. Off the field. Yeah, Kittle, three guys limping in the last minute of the game. So I don't know if you guys are healthy enough to be able to execute what needs to be executed, but you've done it thus far as the team in the league that has the worst quarterback that was in the playoffs, I think, right? Like, what? Let's do the math on this. How many quarterbacks in the playoffs? Ben Roethlisberger? How many quarterbacks in the playoffs are worse than the one that San Francisco has?
Rhetorical question. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's just settle it by saying he's 12th and just let it go with that. Across the country, does the fact that the 49ers are, as you described, an outlier make them more or less charming to, like, just a neutral fan? Or is the show that Patrick Mahomes puts on, or the show that Joe Burrow could conceivably put on, just make them more fun to watch, and the 49ers are the outlier that tastes like medicine?
They are the perfect team for a region to fall in love with because nobody will believe in them. Nobody will want to see them in advance because you want the other storylines. The other storylines are more interesting. Just nationally, we if you look at what happened in the last round of the playoffs, where you've got, I mean, just staggering when you look at what happened last weekend, where you go from Burrow advances after being sacked nine times. Then it escalates to Aaron Rodgers is eliminated. Then it escalates to Tom Brady is eliminated. And then you get the best football game you've ever seen between two quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, fighting to the death to see who's going to own the AFC for the next 10 years. You're seeing sort of a tectonic shift in the power at the position where the old guys a generation grew up with are fading out, although Tom Brady will play until he's 70, and the young guys are coming up and trying to grab all the stuff. And I don't think that the 49ers, I've talked to the Pro Football Focus guys. They say Trent Williams has been the best offensive player in the league this year. You have no shortage of talent. Debo Samuel is the most versatile player in the league, and they're innovative in just creating the existence of him. But that league has changed all the rules to protect the quarterbacks who are in the commercials and get all the good broadcasting jobs. The quarterbacks are the only ones who are not disposable in that league. I'm guessing that most of the people listening to this, I could introduce them to Justin Jefferson and they wouldn't know what he looks like. That all Justin Jefferson I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about pretty high on the excellence, but most of these guys are disposable. The ones that aren't are the quarterbacks. They changed the rules when Brady got hurt to protect the pocket passer so that the quarterbacks are playing a totally different game. They're the only part that isn't interchangeable, and the quarterbacks tend to be the ones that we want to watch, and yours is not one of them.
Let me shift gears in the few minutes we still have you. Does everybody in Miami believe that the Heat are the best basketball team in the NBA, or are they looking at the standings daily with the sort of the trepidation that they could be first one day and fifth the next?
Oh, it's this is a distortion. This is basketball greed sort of chipping at the integrity of the product, because I think the team that they want to go into the playoffs with has played like 17 total minutes together this year, because this is just an assembly of bandages that they have done this with. It's just a tribute to Pat Riley, who is, you know, won in five decades. He's won championships. He's done it in Los Angeles. He's done it in New York. And now I'm telling you guys, like, you guys are sports experts. You're in the sports field. If I start asking you to name the guys that the Heat are playing with, Yurtsevin and Strus, and Martin. Like, this is just a tribute to the things that Pat Riley, and Ray, you've covered this a long time, that Pat Riley believes the culture of the Miami Heat is, which is during an apocalyptic time, during a global pandemic, that the Miami Heat would thrive, that the Miami Heat would find a bunch of guys that could be ahead of somehow the Brooklyn Nets, even though my guess is most of your listeners haven't heard of half of them.
It is amazing. It is a team of who's who, kind of getting it done in the Eastern Conference. Dan Lebatard here on 95.7 The Game. And I know that we've probably already overstayed our welcome with you here, Dan, but I got to wrap up with the fact that in my life, there were a couple of deaths whose profound feeling was something I did not estimate happening. When Adam Yount, MCA, when MCA died of the Beastie Boys, I couldn't believe that like NBA arenas came to moments of silence. My wife and I were getting engaged in Paris the night that Prince died. When we came down from the Eiffel Tower, the entire city bathed in purple light. Like I never realized the power of music globally until that moment. Did you think that Kobe Bryant's death, and today is the 2-year anniversary of his death, would resonate the way it did between sports fans of all ages? I had no idea. I knew he was wildly popular and beloved, but I did not understand that level of admiration for Kobe Bryant.
It's a couple of things, right? It's not merely the way that we admire winning. It's also the profound and sudden shock of an immortal being that kind of mortal, where you're just taking the garbage out and you get the news from somebody and you're like, what? You're like thinking to yourself that that life filled with so much vitality, youth, forever dominating, bigger, stronger, faster, in a survival of the fittest ecosystem. It's supposed to live forever in some ways, and because he connects in some of those places that touch in that the sports is the best at touching, he does get to live forever in some ways, because that kind of guy, that kind of athlete ends up, across generations, moving people as a champion, right? We admired his will. We admired, and in a time when we spent a lot of time complaining about, well, how much does Antonio Brown actually care? How much do these guys care that they get to play for a living and get to live out all of the fantasies of the people who love sports? He embodied them, and I was surprised like everyone else that he died and how he died, but I don't know that you can sort of just be numb to a youthful exuberance being extinguished. I think it's one thing for someone to die at an age when you feel like they have lived their best life. It's an entirely different thing when you see someone, flaws and all, go from a teenager to a champion to the horror of a rape accusation to keeping his marriage together, to keeping his family together, and then to becoming late in life what people close to him, through the growth and everything else, said was a family man who cared deeply about his life and family and being there for his family, having that taken away the way that it was taken away, and then leaving in its wake a grieving widow and young girls that he adored. Obviously, it was something. When mortality touches someone like that, I think that what ends up happening is we all check in with our own mortality.
No doubt. Dan, I tell you, man, you just got away with how you talk about everything, and that's why you went to go from the newspaper to your own media company. I saw that you guys got a first look deal with Apple. That's totally awesome. May I suggest, if you're looking for pitch ideas, the story of an ink-stained wretch who so hates the topic and teams that he covers and the fans that actually read them themselves that he has utter contempt for everyone around him. It is the Ray Ratto story. I think it needs to be told on the big screen.
If only you will allow us to do it, Ray. Rated X. Adult film. Ooh. I'm in.
Bye, Angel Drawers.
Dan Le Batard, thank you so much for joining us and putting up with us today.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate it.
Thank you. Dan Le Batard. You guys got chemistry, right? There's something there. There's no doubt.
He's a perv.
There's something there. I know a match when I see one.
Yeah, you know what's there? Nausea.
Hey,
mutual.
If we can
bi-coastal.
If we can get this screenplay sold, I'm only asking for 10%, Ray. That's it. 10% finder's fee.
I'm learning the way MLB does it, which is we'll promise you 3 and then take 3 from you when you're not looking.
Oh no, I'm Scott Boras. I'm going to be a little harder to trick out of my hard-earned dollar than that. Not much. I mean, not much.
You underestimate our abilities for deceit.
And certainly yours. There is no doubt. Thanks to Dan Le Batard for joining us. I thought he hit his Kobe Bryant answer right on the head. Ray, it was 24 months ago today, Kobe Bryant, he passes away in the helicopter crash, which takes his daughter and several other people with him. Many lost souls that day. The reason why I think it was so shocking is because he was too young for us to ever even ponder his mortality. Like, I've got a buddy of mine named Greg who insists that he will not even feel old or allow himself to feel old until Michael Jordan dies. He's like, the day that Michael Jordan dies, I'll officially feel old. And I said, I get it, you know, because an immortal of our youth actually slips off and you feel like, all right, if it can happen to Jordan, it can happen to me. And I get it. We never even thought that way about Kobe Bryant before he was just gone. And I was at an airport that day when the news was breaking, flying back from Austin, Texas. And it was pre-pandemic, obviously. And it's the most amount of time I'd spent in an airport talking to total strangers about, like, life and death stuff, not just how's the weather, where are you flying to? I mean, there were some profound conversations being born out of the Kobe Bryant tragedy amongst total strangers.
I'm not surprised by that, but I will add one thing to Dan's explanation. It's that at the time of his death, he was living the kind of life that suggested that somebody who had been involved in a rape, well, not been involved. It, you know, the language is clear. I mean, he's, you know, that he had made all the necessary changes in his life to become somebody who was supportive rather than abusive of women. And that the key to him being happy, finally, after giving up hyper-competitive behavior for most of his life, just indicated a life that was about ready to be lived truly well. Not just wealthy, and that's when it happened. I mean, that to me was the takeaway, is that he'd done some crummy things, and he'd been a crummy teammate in a lot of ways, and then suddenly, with basketball behind him, and him having made amends to his family and to the victim, that he suddenly recognized, I'm not going to be that guy anymore, and he didn't get to make that change and enjoy it long enough.
Thanks again to Dan Le Batard for joining us. The incredible guest list today rolls on. Steve Kerr live at 5, Dre Greenlaw 5:30, here with Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game, presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
In about 12 minutes, live at 5, Steve Kerr joins us talking about the Warriors, who have now won 3 in a row and really beat the pants off the Dallas Mavericks last night. I mean, they did. That was the best game the Warriors have played, maybe the most complete game the Warriors have played in a month, Ray. They got to be feeling good about that one, and they got the Minnesota Timberwolves coming to town tomorrow night. Anthony Edwards just had a monster game. He had 40. Zero assists, too. You got to like when a young man drops 40, no dimes.
Yeah, that's sort of his MO, though.
It is.
He came into the league, and everybody said, gee, he probably shoots too much for his own good. And he's still shooting too much for his own good. And yet, the Timberwolves are better. And he's one of the reasons. So, I guess he's shooting just enough, even though it seems like it's too much and that he's incredibly ball-centric, but it's working.
Do you think
I wouldn't have bet on it.
Do you think this month, shooting 29% on threes, Steph Curry is maybe shooting a little bit too much for his own good?
I think he might be, but you know, it would take a season and a half of this before I would venture to say, yeah, you're not doing this right. I think what this month and a half has shown is that he can be prone to a slump too. And, you know, he's at the age where, you know, you're probably still great, but you might be a little more unreliable from time to time. The only surprise about this is that it's taken as long as it has, because he's had stretches where he'd have 4 or 5 games where he didn't shoot well, you know, and then all of a sudden 10 where he shot brilliantly and then 3 where he didn't. This has been a while now, so that any breakout, you know, it will seem like, oh, he's cured, when you don't know if he's cured yet.
It's fair. I mean, it's fair. It's going to take more than one to let me know there's a trend. And last night, even though the Warriors played very well and Steph Curry is doing a much better job protecting the basketball while he's not shooting it well, his assist to turnover ratio has been something he can be very proud of lately. We'll talk to Steve Kerr about that. You know, often when one person loses one of their 5 senses, they start growing, you know, like the person who can't see can hear a pin drop or vice versa. So we'll talk about how Curry's game has actually risen in a couple of other areas, as the one thing he does the best is a little hard to find right now. Klay Thompson looked like he found the rhythm of an NBA game last night more than he has at any point in time. And so things are going well for the Warriors, at least in this homestand, as we can see it right now. Certainly over their last 3, very winnable game, you would think, coming up tomorrow with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, you know, Andrew Wiggins, get ready. This is the team that makes you froth at the mouth, as much as Andrew Wiggins is willing to froth at the mouth.
And yet they also lost the most winnable game on the stand when they lost to Indiana. So I'm sort of the opinion that wait and see might not be cautious enough. Because I would have thought, and I might have bet even American money on this, that if they were going to go for 130 in a game, it'd be against Minnesota, not Dallas. So I'm still not sure who they are or what they are, except that they defend like crazy and they still buy into all the other things that aren't shooting. I mean, you can't have this record and not do really well at a lot of things if your shooting is poor.
Comcast Business text line asked, did you see the Porzingis ejection last night? Was he trying to take Robbie Gould's spot on the 49ers roster with that kick? Oh, yeah, he is the Mr. Double-double, triple-double. Yeah, he is our unicorn. Look, you could tell that Porzingis, number one, didn't want to be thrown out of that game, and he immediately was like, ah, oh, what did I do? That was stupid. And number two, I don't know if he hit anyone with that basketball when he kicked it into the stands, but boy, he was really apologizing on the way out. That was one of the nicer, contrite ejections you'll see at Chase Center, maybe ever. So congratulations to Kristaps Porzingis for that.
Yeah, he was frustrated at having a terrible game, and then he realized that the tantrum he needed to throw was not that one.
So he was
angry enough to do it, and then contrite enough to realize that that wasn't the milieu he was looking for.
It was not. The Warriors had no trouble covering the, what, 4.5, 5.5, depending on where you got it last night. And you know what? Good teams win, great teams cover. So everyone gets to go home happy, unless, of course, you bet on the Mavericks, which did not work out for you. Giving props, by the way, is back for round three of the postseason. If you missed a free-to-play contest in either of the first 2 weeks it was happening, it's not a problem. It's still going on right now. Just like the 49ers, it's still happening, and you got a shot to win another $2,000 is up for grabs. Just text the word props to 20357 to sign up. 10 new prop bets posted leading into Sunday's championship round. And all you got to do is get as many right as you can out of 10. The one with the most wins $2,000. You get entered into a 10 grand drawing just for signing up. So a grand prize is out there for you still. Among the prop bets, Ray, I think I know which way you're going to go on both of these, which means maybe it's time to fade the public, or in this case, the Ratto. Over under, Ray, Jimmy Garoppolo passing yards, 229.5.
Oh, I'm undering the hell out of that.
I mean... Everyone is so undering the hell out of that, you almost have to take the over, right?
Nah, I think in this one, you just look at him and go, nah, this number is wrong.
Fair. Very, very fair. Elijah Mitchell, over under, 66.5 rushing yards. So how about this? The Niners are going to win? That's got to be over.
Well, my theory is if you're going to bet the under on Garoppolo, you should probably bet the over on Mitchell, because otherwise they're not going to have any offense at all.
Yeah, you might be forfeiting at halftime.
Yeah, my sense would be that that Mitchell will be over. Now, that said, the Garoppolo bet, as I'm looking at his, you know, day by days, 225 is actually kind of a low number for him. I mean, he's had a bunch of 280s and like 300s. He's not hopeless at this. Against the Rams, though, you know, it was 182 the first time, and then I can't remember what he was against LA the second time, but it was, you know, he can run up some yards, but I just don't think that's the way to bet here.
It's certainly not the style of game Kyle Shanahan, you would think, is looking to call. So there you go. Good luck to you. You get registered for a $10,000 grand prize just for signing up. Maybe you win $2,000 by picking the correct amount of 10 prop bets to have picked more than anyone else. Good luck to you. Text props to 20357 right now. Make your picks before Sunday. That is props to 20357. Steve Kerr will be joining us in just a minute here, coming up at 5 o'clock. We're really looking forward to talking about how last night it looked like Klay Thompson got the feel of the game back. Like, every game has been a step towards normalcy, and there was more normalcy about Klay Thompson last night than ever before. And maybe you'd say, like, whoa, look at that assist total. That's not normal, Klay. Klay doesn't go ahead and, you know, serve up dimes like a bank teller. That's not what he does. And he says, no. Klay insists that passing has always been among his strengths.
I played point guard growing up, and I played quarterback, so vision was always in my repertoire. But, you know, I think I'm at my best when I'm playing off the ball and I'm catching, I'm shooting, I'm cutting. And I just thought tonight I did a good job of making the right play and not forcing anything. And each shot I took was a good shot. And I'm going to build off this and hopefully do the same thing on Thursday.
Wearing the captain's hat, Ray, Klay looked good. He did. He looked, I think, the best in any game that he's played just by taking, you know, all of it. He was efficient. He played the most amount of minutes. He was asked to defend, harder to defend players, I think, last night than, I mean, he was on Luka. Luka's a handful. So that means that this coaching staff is really starting to get the feedback from their own eyes saying they can ask him to do more and more and more and more.
Yeah, but I think they still have to do it kind of incrementally, because getting him back up to full Warrior game speed as opposed to just game speed, I think, is a more involved process. And I think last night was the first real tangible step toward that. But there are other steps to take between now and when you can say, okay, he's back at it. He gave them basically your standard 2018 Clay game. And that's the first one he's given them. So you want to see him do it sort of almost reflexively at this point. And that's going to take more reps.
Look, we don't need a timepiece or Switzerland to tell us when it's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock when Steve Kerr calls in, and he's just done that. So welcome everyone to 5 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.